It's Wednesday, August 13th, 2008, and you're listening to episode 111 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 53 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is Gleemax.
No, it's not. Gleemax is dead. My name is John.
My name is Pat.
Gleemax went down like mother brain at the 2.5 hour mark.
Oh, wait. We have one more, gentlemen.
That's right.
That's right. And my name is Chris.
And we still don't have his compressor working right because for some reason it's not, the sound's not getting through to the computer. But we'll get that fixed. So Chris should only have crappy sound, hopefully, for this one more episode, and then we'll have him straightened out. So Chris, actually call me this week so we can get this crap set up.
Well, I suppose if you're actually going to talk to me and acknowledge my existence.
Okay. All right.
So you know about that new phone number you can call that will allow you to call someone's voicemail directly. So it looks like you try to get into contact with them when you don't. It's like Sly Dial or something.
Really? That's awesome.
It is. It's actually cool.
I need that.
Dan, your number is still 1-900-DAN-HAIR. Is that right?
Yes.
1-900-976-HAIR.
Excellent.
Nice.
So, Gleemax, I actually heard about this from you guys here at dinner tonight.
Well, you heard about it when we called it, when they first announced it, and said this was a really stupid idea.
No, Chad, it wasn't stupid. It was just too ambitious.
Oh, yes.
There was too much, too fast.
Yeah.
A social networking site is far, far ahead of the time we currently live in.
Yes, 2008. Social networking, no. Can't do that. So, John, you really like Gleemax then, huh?
Yeah, I'm sad it's gone.
Yeah, I bet you are. Did you have an account?
I never went there. I saw it last year at Gen Con. All I saw was like this green or purple brain thing, and everyone was plugging in. I'm like, what the hell is this?
I bet you they don't need that brain anymore. And we have brain on now, so I kind of want it.
Hey.
So, Wizards, I know at least one of you listens to this, so we want the brain on brain.
The Gleemax brand, that's actually a magic card.
Really?
Yeah, and it's from...
Unglued or whatever the new Unglued is.
No,
it has to be.
It maybe it's like this really outrageous card. I mean, it's like one of their so powerful, it's campy and comedy, and they make jokes about it in the description. There's like... I'm not a big magic player, so somebody's probably going to correct me on this, but I think there's like maybe 5 or 6 cards that are just outrageously powerful and aren't even allowed in tournaments and stuff, and they're just like the one hit kill, and this is one of those. It's impossible to get out on the table, but if you do, it's automatic win.
I escaped from Magic by forking Scheherazade in a match in about 1998, so I'm still playing that game. I can't start a new one because it's never going to end.
Yeah, my greatest regret about seeing this Gleemax thing go belly up is Gamer Zero, because he's a really nice guy. I met him at Gen Con last year, and I hope
he killed my whole family.
He's known to do that, but I mean, that aside, I hope he lives on to kill another family some other day. He's an exceedingly nice guy.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have to talk to him at Gen Con.
Yeah, we will. Maybe we'll buy him liquor.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Or we'll give
him a commiseration party.
Yeah, when we win the Emmy.
Ouch.
Yeah, if you've not got out to vote for the Emmys this year, it's probably not worth it. But if you are, I noticed that the Animal Guys have a podcast that's up there.
What's it called?
Animal Cast.
Animal Ball?
Yeah.
Animal Ball Baraski.
Yeah, there's some
Bill
good guys.
Baraski.
So. Not to say the other podcast out there isn't, but it's just that I happen to notice.
So
it.
Who are these Animal Ball people?
Great guys. You should go check.
I mean the podcast. What the hell is it about? Is it about animals?
It's an RPG podcast.
Yeah, it's an RPG podcast.
Oh, so they're kind
of
like
Rocky Mountain.
I see how it is.
It's going to be about furries, but it's not.
So they're totally ripping us off.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think we're the first gaming podcast.
Yes, that's right.
They
Everybody
have completely
is.
Stolen what we're doing. Yeah.
Just like DLI did.
Yep. Those jerks.
Alrighty, so Gen Con this year. I guess we want to do the shout outs first.
Let's do the shout out. Let's tell the people who we are rooting for.
All right, Chris, I'll let you go first.
We'll spread some Fear the Boot love. I have to send my. He's already been shouted out once, but he deserves a second one only because he's been nice to me. But the cigar smoker. Without solicitation, I might add. Contacted me and graciously sent me some cigars to try out. And I think, you know, my wife and I always look for an excuse to do something like this. So I'm thinking the start of school is coming up. And so I think that'll be a good time. We can kind of ring out summer, ring in the fall, and enjoy ourselves on our deck and some lovely cigars, courtesy of Cigar Smoker.
He got me into Carlos Esteban, I think they're called. And I ordered 20 of those. It's really a great cigar that they don't make anymore. And I've got a whole bunch come to me. Thank you much. And it's Dan's favorite cigar, I think.
Yeah, I do like it a lot.
I'm still on those Drew Estates.
Oh, yes. The Cuba Cubas. Excellent.
He's the official aficionado now of the podcast.
Yes.
You sent us something once. You're a nice guy. And we really appreciate it. You sent us something twice, and now you have a position.
Yes, yes. We need a title for him beyond just a, you know, puny forum title.
Speaking of which, by the time this show drops, the new forum should be up. So be sure to go by our existing forums, look for a link to those. They're actually set up right now as of this recording, and this has probably been recorded almost a week and a half before it's going to release. But we do have a new forum set up. We're right now just dorking around with it, making sure it's configured the way we want. So that link should be on our forums by the time this comes up.
Going to have to change your bookmarks? Are you still going to do Fear the Boot?
It'll eventually be feartheboot.com, but I'm going to put out the new forum about a week or two before I actually shut down and flip domain. So it will still be feartheboot.com, but for an interim period, the new forums will not be on feartheboot.com. You'll just find a link off of our existing forums, probably in the announcements area, to the new forums. If you've never taken the time to stop by and say hi, one of the things we pride ourselves on is being a very interactive, socially driven podcast.
We're so friendly.
Please stop by the forums and say hi. If you didn't bother the old ones, stop by on the new ones. If you did on the old ones and you strayed for a time, then now's a great time to return into the flock.
Yes.
And I've seen the new ones and they're gorgeous.
You've seen them?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I emailed you a link to them.
I'm registered on them, and you should be too.
Dan sent out the link, and I set up an appointment with our online realtor, and I went and I checked it out, took a little tour. It was wonderful.
Yep, nice. Yep. He wants me to take some of the dog pee stains off of general discussion.
Yeah.
But if I can do that and maybe offer him a little bit back on the price towards the roof, then he's willing to
If you'd like to buy a timeshare over in moving pictures, checks will go to john@freethebook.com.
Yes.
This way should raise money for the show, is sell people the right to post things that are unmoderated and
fiction
thread.
No. As a moderator.
It's like a reverse porn site. People are going to pay us.
No, that's
to
a forward porn. Yeah.
Well, but if you're selling WoW gold, then maybe that might.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, people do that already with that.
I know. It's gotten to be so prolific. I'm almost like, let them have the forums. just take the new ones.
It's like the yellow zone. The Tiberium has come, and we can't get it away. So we're retreating.
Let the mutants take it over, and they can say they're selling WoW gold while we move on to better and greener pastures.
Pat.
Yes.
You're too quiet. Say something.
I know.
I just haven't had anything to say.
Pat, who do you want to say hi to? What do you like? What do you love?
Wow.
God, I sound like Tom Ashbrook, and I hate that guy.
Do you hate Tom Ashbrook?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
That's all right.
But that's I'll learn.
Yeah.
I'll learn these things.
The NPR crowd knows what I'm talking about.
Ah, so. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say hello to Pat. I haven't met Pat yet. So, Pat,
Met you either. Nice. Well met, friend.
Yes.
Ouch! That was fake.
So cliche. That was awesome.
You can be quiet again.
if I ever seriously played in the Forgotten Realms, I probably would say the same thing back at you. But I don't. I haven't. So I can't.
That's wisely
stated. I'll just say hey.
I think the new Forgotten Realms is coming out like really soon.
Living Forgotten Realms is actually it's debuting at Gen Con.
Sure, why not? They never even finished the 4th edition codexes, but they're dropping a 5th edition Warhammer.
What?
Yeah, they just dropped a 5th edition 40K. So.
Oh, Games Workshop is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Whoa, yeah.
So, hey, why not just keep dropping out new versions of everything?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of time for a 4th edition setting. It's not like Blizz WotC is just dropping this out of the clear blue sky.
No, that's fair enough. And I believe Forgotten Realms is their most popular setting. So,
yeah.
Probably makes sense to do that one there. Alrighty, second shout out.
Yes.
Want to give a shout out to JLH Burnett. I have no idea what JLH stands for. If this man is so powerful, he has two first names.
I think he is.
Or perhaps H is part of Burnett. It's actually H Burnett.
Yes.
So
this man did the art for one of our new podcasts. He did the logo art for it for Brain On, which is a giant brain in a jar. And it looks really cool. Exactly what I wanted. In fact, actually, I'd say it wasn't really what I wanted. It was better than what I wanted. It was really cool. I liked it.
So we want to toss out a big thanks to him. And also, we're going to go back probably in next episode.
Yeah.
If we can catch up with him around the time of Gen Con. If not, we'll catch him after that and try to get some info from him on Hex Games.
Yes. He is the assistant creative director at Hex Games. And we don't really know a whole lot about Hex Games. we wanted to give a shout out to him and shout out to his company and such. And I took a look around their website, and their games look pretty cool. They do Quags and Wrestling and some other things, and their games look really cool. I just don't know a whole lot about them. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at them a little bit more in depth and come back to them and talk about them.
Right.
And hopefully the man is going to be at Gen Con, or someone from Hex Games is going to be at Gen Con. Hopefully we can talk to those guys,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so they catch up with us there. This actually rolls right into our next segment. We want to talk about what we're doing at Gen Con, and Chris has got some things he's going to tell us about his upcoming Gen Con plans. But one of the things we have going on there is a live recording of Fear the Boot. We're going to do an episode there as if it were a panel. And so if they happen to be there, we could...
Are we going to have like a panel room to do this? Or are we going to be like at the big Great Hall, you know, jostled by people?
It's my understanding we're going to have a dedicated room for this.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you guys want to come by and get in on an episode.
Definitely. If we have a room for this, which we are, then in your Fear the Boot fan, come on down and I will be running out into the audience with a microphone.
Naked, on fire.
Naked, on fire.
Chad Donahue.
Possibly with a venereal disease.
Chad
I don't know
catch
yet.
You, dude. You're trying to run a serious game about Warcraft characters invading Sim
That's
neighborhood.
Right.
He'll just walk up to you with a microphone.
That's right. And I'll stick it in your face. We did something like that at Archon with our panels, where I was run out to the audience with a microphone. I had a lot of fun doing that. It was very successful. So
let's roll right into that. Our plans for Gen Con. We gave them last episode. Let's give them again.
Real quick this time, because it's actually kind of boring.
We'll keep them fairly quick. But first off, Thursday, 2 to 5, we are going to be doing a hands-on podcasting workshop. Mm-hmm. We're going to be bringing people in, showing them how to podcast, sitting them down in front of mics. On that night, probably around 7 o'clock Thursday night, a bunch of us are going to be getting together for a social outing.
Getting so drunk!
Somewhere nearby in Indianapolis. I do not yet have a confirmed location. Be sure to check our forums. And I will also try to put out a little micro show.
You bet you're going
to
put out.
Like a PSA 2, giving the location as soon as I find it, because I want that to get in your guys' hands as soon as possible.
You know, so, if I think I remember correctly, and because I think it's been posted in the thread on the forums, but yeah, please check and confirm. That's not very far from the convention center. It's actually just like kind of down the street.
Yeah, I think they tried to make that as close and as easily accessible to a good place as possible.
Right. Saturday at 3, that's the Fear of the Boot Live event. If you want to come sit in on a show, that's where your chances to do it. Then Saturday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., we'll be at a media meet and greet where there's going to be people from various kinds of media there. We'll be in the crowd, so come by and say hi then. And last off, Sunday at 1 p.m. during the...
This is the one I don't think anybody's going to show up to.
If you want to be one of three people that show, the other two being me and Chad, well, I guess Chris will be there too.
Yeah,
I might not, but go ahead.
You bastard.
Chris leaves like a thief in the night.
I do. See,
yes.
Well, he leaves
a rose and a blush.
Yes. I'm not bussing it this year. I'm actually I'm riding out with my old gaming friends from up north, which is cool. I'm meeting them out in Rockford, and then we're going to trek on over, and then I'm going to... live in the streets on Wednesday night.
Excellent.
As I wait for you guys to show up Thursday. Oh no, actually, I have to. If I give anybody credit, it would be Grungy Dan, who kind of saved my day, and
Grungy
my
Dan,
original
Dan
housing stuff didn't work out.
We'll have to demote you to Hobo Cop.
Yes. I'll be Hobo Cop on Wednesday, and but no, Grungy Dan kind of saved the day, and so I'll be rooming with him for the day, and then hanging out with the rest.
Grungy
of you.
Dan will save the day. He'll come at you with his beer and his Mandarin Chinese and just sweep you off your feet.
That's right.
He is Batman in the forums.
And I'm sure all those times I just gave are up for change. So please do check your Gen Con schedule when you get there.
Yeah, it is Gen Con after all.
So for those of you, though, who are not going to Gen Con but still yet want to experience all the bootness, I'm going to be out there videotaping, vlogging, blogging, whatever the hell you want to call it. But I'll be... shooting some video, uploading some clips, and basically kind of giving just general experiences. I did it last year, but I'll be doing it again this year under the Fear the Boot moniker. Now, but the link of that is going to be different. We're going to use my own personal gaming blog for that one. And I'll give Dan the link so we can put it in the show links just so you can all find it.
I'll appreciate that, Chris. I'm going to be spending Gen Con moving furniture and then getting ripped at the Heidelberg for my first time.
It'll be also in my SIG on the forums. If you frequent the forums, it's there as well, so you can always click there.
Well, we'll have a Gen Con episode dropping, so if you can just get it to me at Gen Con, then probably by the time you post your blog stuff and I post the episode, it'll be about the same time, so I can just link to it off that episode. And we'll mention it again during the live recording. And
Live recording. I like that.
Yeah, a live pre-recorded show.
Yeah, we never do live recordings.
I guess it's live as in front of other people. So we'll have a live studio.
I'm actually dead right now.
Yeah. Taped it from like, oh, wow. Me too, because I'm Glee Max.
Oh, too soon? No.
Pat, what are you doing for Gen Con? Because you're not going.
Actually, I'm unfortunately not able to go to Gen Con. One of the local game stores here in St. Louis, Game On, is hosting they're calling it the Too Poor for Gen Con tournament. It's a war. Mm-hmm. It's actually a War Machine / Hordes. It's a mixed event. It's a Steamroller 4.0, and it's going to be a 750 point list.
Cool. Well, good luck to tournament. You, sir.
Yeah, I think I'm one of, I know there are 20 people confirmed going. Uh-huh. There's some alternates in case people don't show up, and it's going to be big. It's going to go at least 5 rounds. It starts at 11 a.m. It's on that Saturday, the 16th.
Yeah. I love the St. Louis War Machine community.
That is an awesome idea.
Bunch of cool guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's big. Because 5 rounds, 5 different games. Even with the newer rules with Steamroller, they put some time limits on turns. Mm-hmm. But still, it's going to be, it's going to be an all-day thing. I'm thinking it's going to go 12 hours plus.
I'd love to give his website a plug if he had a website, but it does not appear he does.
Well, we can't find it on a quick search of Google, so maybe it's out there and we just don't know it.
His store is one of those awesome gaming stores. I love his gaming shop, and he's a great guy, too. Great people, tons of stuff, everything from video games to RPGs to comic books, t-shirts, you name
it. He's really got it all, and I know that he's very accommodating to get it in too. So
it's clean. There are plants in there,
and it's in West County.
It's in West County.
That's where I am.
It doesn't smell like gamer.
It has pretty girls in there.
Yeah,
occasionally,
Chris, pretty good mix.
Yeah,
I have a question for you.
For who, me?
Because you. No, the other Chris on the show.
I didn't hear you say Chris. All right, I'm ready.
Chad and I. As I go to Gen Con,
here's something he's going to say that I have absolutely no recollection of.
No, well, I've never said it before. So when I go to Gen Con, I don't really make any specific plans because I find that between the panels are putting me on and just the random people I bump into.
And you're excruciating press of fans.
Yes, precisely. If you combine all that together, plus the fact that I don't get up till like noon, then I'm fairly busy throughout Gen Con anyway, so I don't really make a lot of plans to go here and do this and play in this game and be here for that, but you do. And I'm curious what kinds of plans you have made for Gen Con this year, and also if you want to tell us what it is you're going to be wearing to some of those.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, and to a certain degree, that's true. I have in the past partaken in a number of demo events for certain games or gone to this and that, or played in the Battletech Open or what have you, but a lot of my time has been spent at various seminars. One of the fun things I like to do is just to companies that matter to me, their products, I'll usually try and hit up their seminars to find out, what's going on with the company, what the future plans are. That's always been an attraction. Also, really the biggest thing for me, honestly, that I think I enjoy the most is the Exhibitors Hall. I mean, whenever people ask me about Gen Con, I talk to them extensively about the Exhibitors Hall. And really, it's nothing but a big shopping area, but it's so cool because you get to see such a variety of either, products that A, you've only heard about, or B, you've never heard about, and you can partake in demos within the booths if there's space, and that's a blast. Plus, it's pretty much free to do, and sometimes you get little freebies. And there's always good deals to find on things, in the Exhibitors Hall. Last year, I remember in particular, one vendor was there, and they had these, just these bins filled with D&D miniatures, $1 per mini or something like that. And people just were crowded around there the entire time. It's stuff like that that's there. This one guy was having his half-off sale because everything was, he had a bunch of 3.0 stuff that he needed to just unload. And so I was able to pick up a copy of Lone Wolf RPG for a fraction of the cost. So that's...
I wonder if I could have a bake sale, just a table and I sell pie.
You could.
Probably.
No, absolutely no game. Like, set it up like a country.
There's a woman who brings cookies to SimuCon every year and no one should eat them. She's kind of creepy.
You would make, if you had a bake sale at Gen Con and your prices were reasonable, wasn't like $45 a cookie.
You'd clean up.
I would hire grandmother to dress up.
You'd totally clean up.
These are gamers you're talking about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And everybody likes, it's sugar and butter.
Everybody likes pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm wearing, I have to admit that.
Cosplay, please.
Chris, what are you wearing? Oh, God. Right now?
I have to admit that I am a Fear the Boot host that has yet to get an actual Fear the Boot shirt yet.
I guess I need to take care of
that. Well, you know, I haven't gotten around to that. But however, I have two special shirts that I'll be wearing at Gen Con, not the entire time, obviously, you know, one shirt per day. You know, I am human. And
not the shirt guy on YouTube.
Each one though is tied very specifically to Fear the Boot. So I think though, you know, the Fear the Boot fans will really appreciate it, at least I hope they will. But I won't reveal what they are until, you know, once we're at Gen Con and people can see that. And speaking of, just to jump back real quick, if you see me, though, you know, running around with my camera and stuff, you know, and please, by all means, come up and stop me. We'll throw you on camera and we'll, you know, so you can, you know, be like on the internet or something.
So if somebody like throws some beads at you, you'll kind of
flash them.
People can throw beads. I mean, you know, one year I wore a, what would you call it? It's not a sandwich board, but it basically was like I was like a walking billboard for my old online gaming magazine I used to have. And I had these large, let me tell you, this was marketing genius. I had attached to my backpack, I had taken two dowels to go straight up on either side. Okay. And then between them, I had stretched a little canvas piece of canvas, and on there I had written the URL of my gaming website. I had no booth, I had no money, I had nothing as far as to really to promote this, and I just basically walked around the exhibitors hall, and I sometimes took my buddies behind me, and whenever they saw someone look up at my banner, they would then hand them a business card that had just the URL for the website on there. And so
that drove your traffic up by two members.
I got like at least five hits after that. It was wonderful. It was no, but it,
nice.
But it,
so
it worked.
Then when Fear the Boot found Chris homeless along the side of the road drinking scope to kill the pain and hired him out of the guttural darkness of this period of his life.
I was playing double minor league at that point. Yeah.
Double minor league. Nice.
That was actually kind of effective. The funniest part was walking through the food court at the mall and while still wearing this and getting a number of looks. I got more looks than I think some of the costume people did just because from the sheer oddity of it all. But.
And being the only person I'm aware of that has seen your t-shirts you're wearing this year, those are significantly better than you wearing some kind of a sandwich board.
I'll do that next year. I'm all
no,
for it.
No, do not. You will bring down this entire organization. If somebody wants to sabotage us, that is how you do it. Walk around with a sandwich board for
the
us
end
on
is
it.
Nigh. Feartheboot.com.
That's right, baby.
Rock on.
The world will look up and shout, go to my website, and I'll say no.
I bet Chad doesn't get that reference.
I totally do, actually.
I do have.
I'm looking forward to the movie, believe it
Carla
or not.
Carla has shown me
she probably
a
don't.
Place. You got a great new swag item for the boot I need to pick up. And this is something I ought to walk around cons like selling for $5 a pop just because that's what they cost to make. Stamps. FTV 9000 footprint red rubber stamps. So you could just...
We can run around mushroom stamping everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can just, like, at a game, you can just be very ignorant that if everyone at the table has an FTB 9000 compliant character except one guy, hint, hint.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. That's
the reverse of what we used to do. We used to have a movable type stamp that said hard ass, and if someone's character was a shallow, pointless hard ass, whenever they were not looking, or sometimes even when they were, we would label their character sheet to let them know what it is we thought they were playing.
You know, really, we need Fear the Boot playing cards is what we need.
Yeah, we need like the Operation Iraqi Freedom deck with the Ace of Dan, and you know, there's four of us. We can be aces. No, there's five of us. Oops.
No.
Fudge.
John just worked his way down to a king.
Yep.
John, you can be a joker.
No, I'll be a joker, yeah. I'll be the rules card. How about that?
I'll be the Queen of Hearts.
You are,
sir. That's the one I always bet on. Because you know what? The Queen of Diamonds, she will beat me if she's able.
That's right.
Yes, she will.
Well, playing with the Queen of Hearts, you know it's not really smart.
Alrighty, let's get on into something else here.
Something interesting and fun to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't talked about role-playing games yet.
What?
Let's move on from Gen Con stuff here. I'm sure people are probably sick of hearing that, especially since it's probably
I'm sick of really talking about
every
it.
Podcast, and those of you who aren't going couldn't care less, so... We'll move on from that and let that be the end of it until next episode when we're at Gen Con and talk about it again.
And then for the 3 months after Gen Con, when us and every single other RPG podcast
right.
was talking about
we're Gen mining Con. That for material for,
yes, yes.
for next 3 months until they start the kickoff for the next Gen Con, at which point we talk about that.
Yeah.
Actually, by then, we'll be talking about Worldwide Wing Night 2 or 4 or 5, whatever it is, and well, Fear the Con 2.
The real Con. Yes,
and I should probably go in to rent that place here pretty soon. Awesome. So keep your calendars free. We're going to try for the same date again. We're going to try for the first weekend in March. As soon as I get out to Parks and Rec and get the place reserved, I will give you guys a date for sure. But
you know what we should do? We should go out to Beaumont and rent out the shooting range.
That'd be kind of cool. And we can just have like gaming in certain alleys and then shooting in other alleys.
Yeah.
Find out what people are really made of, who's really got
the
balls.
The LARPing can be like, okay, go shoot that target. If you hit it, you hit.
Okay.
Kadek.
I pop a cap in his ass. See, there really is no such thing as knockback. All righty. But GM profiles, we need to get Johnny G here because you're going to be disappearing from us next week. So
yeah,
this is our last window of opportunity.
I guess next Tuesday or whatever is going to be my last full-time host recording for 3 years.
So how does the most popular man on the video podcast run his
game?
Well,
by acknowledging the camera. No, not really.
Nice. Pretending to masturbate for the camera.
Well, I wasn't pretending to masturbate. I was indicating that your declaration of your favorite game as one you run was slightly more, I don't know.
Well, when he's asking what was your favorite game you ever ran?
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Watch the video episode.
It's a video podcast. It's expertly edited.
One of the questions asked was, what was your favorite game?
What was your favorite game you've ever run and ever played? Were the two
or ever played?
No, others and ever played.
Was it split?
Yeah, it was two things.
Ladies,
what was your favorite
ladies,
game?
Whatever. Have to fight over this.
Anyway,
table flip.
I made fun of Dan, and Dan made fun of me back, and right. It was called Fear the Boot.
Yes.
Okay.
Precisely, GM profile. But Chad wasn't there, so
no.
And Chad didn't watch it again. It was called Fear the Boot.
I thought
of two main points when I was trying to scheme up my GM profile. The one was something I've said on the mics before, which is the players like themselves more than they like you. I only have as much of a GM plot as is absolutely necessary to keep things cooking along. As soon as I figure out what gives player X the greatest amount of thrill, I jump into that, weave it into the main plot, and by the end of it, I'd like to have nothing but a disgusting conglomeration of every individual character motivation, I can do it.
Has that worked consistently in every game you've run?
No, but has anyone's method?
Well, no, but no.
Oh, enough. Mine has every time.
I was just curious because you were saying that. And I was rolling that around in my head that players like their characters more than they like you. And I was rolling that around in my head. And that's definitely been true of most of the groups I've gamed with. But like, I think right now the problem is Chad is having his current game is the players like him more than they like their characters.
Okay, that's another problem. And really? That typically speaks to the passivity of the characters.
Right.
Or perhaps how much they love your plot. I mean, I'm not saying that's not
Thank
possible,
you.
Yeah. But
you should know you played in the darker,
played
more evil version
a lot of
this
of your
plot.
Games. And apparently this game itself.
Yes.
But most of the players I play with would rather talk about themselves and define what they're trying to do then chase the Triforce
okay.
or whatever.
So I come to you and I say, John, we're going to run, I want you to run a Star Wars game and I got a group for you. Where do you begin?
Well, first we do characters.
Okay.
Then we do a group template.
Okay.
I figure out who's related to who, who's force sensitive, who has to be an astromech droid.
Who's force sensitive?
All this, that's important. If we're playing Empire era and
well,
that gets
sure.
out in the public, I will kill that guy.
Yeah.
It's going to be them versus the billion stormtrooper legion and they aren't going to win. And
right.
then I start drafting a villain, and this is the second point that I got to. I make a timeline of the things that will happen assuming the player characters do not intervene, and then from their actions I cause it to skip. And on that timeline the bad guy wins, everything goes to hell, and it's all bad.
So you write a sort of a negative possibility.
I do.
And let the players try and change history, so to speak.
Exactly. And I have to admit that Zeb Cook did the same thing in Earthshaker, which horrified me when I read it. But I thought, this is a good technique.
Yeah.
I write what the villain is, what his motivations are. Of course, he doesn't think he's a villain. He thinks he's doing the right thing for the right reasons. There are multiple parties going on. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Most are competing. And in the absence of our heroic player characters, the dude who thinks he's going to purge the universe with fire purges the universe with fire, and everything is sterile and beautiful and dead. So that's kind of my method.
Game notes. Do you have any? Do you bring them?
I bring them. I have them. They are usually self-composed. Sometimes I'll go on to wizards.com and gank one of those one-session outlines.
You generally do like D20. 3.5.
Yeah, I do
or
a pretty structured game system.
Yeah.
I am not as freeform as you are. Right. I don't know if I'm as crunchy as
Right.
I don't know, everyone. Right. I never ran 3.5 all the way down to its every implication.
Yeah.
I didn't make stat blocks of NPCs with every skill, every feat, and all that sort of thing. But, no, you're rolling dice in combat in my game. I just don't tell you you win or you lose. You earn it or lose it at your discretion. Although my rolls are behind the screen, and, well, maybe I don't want you to die. So I'll cheat a little bit.
If I stole your notes, what would I see therein?
If you stole my notes...
Pictures of penises.
You would see...
Anarchy Forever.
A couple of settings, not necessarily all to be used in the game, but scenery descriptions, people that are there, what they're doing, what the villain is doing or trying to do, loot, stats.
That's a pretty typical...
So it
normal
sounds
D&D
like
game.
You kind of skip the middle tier, but you have the ultra high level of here's the plot arc going on in the background. Here's the flow of the world. And then you have, here's the sword you picked up. Here's a place you might go, but you have no middle tier to the game. You don't have like, they come into a town and this guy approaches them and here's what he says.
That's what you create.
Well, that's what I make up.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But that part you're making up completely on the fly.
Yeah.
Right. No, I do not have Mr. Plot Hook sitting at the bar. O storyline. Waiting to dispense advice that'll kick you on to the next cinematic.
Hmm. What do you think the greatest failing of your style is? What's the biggest problem you run into?
It requires a lot of player initiative, and sometimes that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming this on my players. This is my fault. I mean, games should run briskly, or at least should be set up such that a player can run it briskly.
Ever had the reverse problem of too much player initiative or conflicting player initiative?
No, never. Yeah. I've never had that. I want to have that problem personally.
The funny thing is, when I'm GMing, the main source of that at my table is not playing and causing it because it's me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I have. I mean, it takes a lot of different kinds of paint to make a beautiful picture, but if you all throw it up in one little pile, it's just this gray blob.
Oh, there's always Jackson Pollock, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, I know. I thought of Jackson Brown. The Pretender started playing in my mind. I was like, what?
Chad, won't you stay just a little bit longer?
Become a lawyer in love. That's fascinating, right. By the way, at the whole GM style.
Well, thank you, Chris.
It is really, it's very interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, cool. It really doesn't require that middle step. And maybe I write it this way to avoid that, now that you mention it, Dan. Because, of course, I didn't imagine anything was missing from my method.
Oh, I don't think missing. I'm just.
Yeah, you know, a common level of game master premeditation is not there, and it's worth noting. I think I have the fun of writing that story in which the bad guy wins, and then turn it around, dump it on the players, and say, "Stop him."
Yeah,
I have a couple ideas in my head of how he can be stopped. Of course, I drop hooks in the game they can pick up, but they're free to do whatever they want to. They're the players.
Right. And I definitely want to emphasize, I'm not saying anything's missing, because anything you don't write, obviously you have some inspiration for, and you're going to just do, you're going to improv on the spot. If somebody walks in and has everything ready, here's the scripts, here's the point by point plot, here's all the NPCs, it's everything is written down.
There's two extremes.
This is going to be a terrible game.
The one is, open up Microsoft Word and write a story.
Right.
You don't need a role-playing group. You don't need players. You're just trying to write a book.
Probably those kinds of games, you don't even Word. You just need MS Project with tasks we can check off. Talked to barkeep. Check. Barkeep said maid is in trouble. Check.
And the other end is play pretend.
Yeah.
You don't want rules. You don't want any sort of even plot guidance. Just sit around and tell each other what your magical friend does. Hmm. And I don't like either of those extremes.
Yeah.
I like writing, but I don't like gaming with absolutely everything laid out.
From a gaming standpoint, yeah. So, what do you think that your major strength is, to ask the other side of the question?
Accommodating PC ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to me with some hooks and a goal, I like it when players come to me with characters who want something.
Yes.
For example, here's a character I saw a while ago. There was this beat cop in a vampire game who desperately wanted to be part of the federal police. It's a mud called City by Night Vienna or something like that. It's a vampire mush. He could have just as easily rolled the federal policeman out from the get-go and played it, but he didn't. He rolled a guy who wanted to be a federal policeman,
mm-hmm.
but was a beat cop for reasons X, Y, and Z in his past, and now his source of tension is trying to work his way up. Meanwhile, there's vampires and werewolves and all that.
Yeah.
So give me somewhere to go with your character, and I will love the process of helping you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. What I always find in regards to that is I want that too. I want, when I ask, you know, what are your character's goals? What do they want? The players give me short-term immediate goals. And this is not something that happened, but just as a ham-fisted example, I want the big gun, or I want the big car, or I want the big car, or I want to be chief of police. Not, I want to go on the journey to be chief of police. You know, I want to be chief of police. And it's like these real short-term, immediate sort of things. I would love it if my players came to me, looking at two of my players, and said, hey, these are my long-term goals. Here's some steps along the way. How can you work that into the story?
That is all cool. I want.
And that's what I loved as you being a player, because you would always come to me and say, I want my character to die, but I want this kind of death. Or I want this end point for the character. It's not necessarily death or anything. Or I want this for my character. And I would try. I wouldn't always succeed, but I would at least try to work that into the story.
Well, it's a story either way. Yeah. A lot of times...
You don't always
people
get
don't
what
get
you
what
want.
They want. I mean, yeah. There's Boromir in every Lord of the Rings deviation since Lord of the Rings.
But it's tricky though to do that. And first of all, I would like that as well, because I mean, when I solicit information from my players in that way, I get little bits and pieces, but not necessarily the real long term goals. But yet at the same time, it's when they do that, it's like they're asking you, this is what I want the end of the book to say. Well, if you already know how the end of the book is, why even bother? Now, well, I know the journey there can also be just as exciting, but it's a tough line
going.
To walk.
So where are you
going? I want to know what the characters want. I am not necessarily guaranteeing or even saying I'll try to get them there.
Right.
It helps me understand what the player and the character alike wants if I know 100 yards down the line where they want to go and 100 miles down the line where they want to go. Yeah. In the Star Wars game, for example, we had a Force sensitive who wanted to be a Jedi. Okay, that's a very long-term goal in the Empire era.
Yeah.
Nigh unrealizable, in fact. But there are things you can work for, yeah. Even if you're just searching blindly in the dark.
Especially if you have somebody says, I want to become chief of police, but I am a rookie cop beat officer. Okay, that's cool. And, you know, this is why, and this is how, and this is that, and the other. That's cool. It's going to be a 6-month-long campaign in real time that it spans the course of 2 to 3 weeks in game time.
Yeah.
You're not going to become the chief of police or even get one promotion.
Yeah. I mean,
but
best of situation,
there.
You get a field promotion to corporal because everyone above you died. And this is not a good situation.
Yeah.
Your character doesn't even want this as bad as he wants to be promoted.
Yeah.
But
for anyone that needs a good guide for handling player desires in a role playing game and particularly wishes. Like in D&D, I'm talking about the actual wish. You need to read a short story called The Monkey's Paw. And that is your perfect guide on how to handle all
What's
those
that?
Situations. The Monkey's Paw, it's a thing. You've seen it before, even if you've never read the story, because it's used all the time in popular fiction. It's been on The Simpsons. It's been on all kinds of stuff. There's a couple that gets a hold of a monkey's paw from some like weird antiquities market. And you can make a wish upon every time you do it will curl up one of its fingers. And you only get a certain number of wishes on it. And all the wishes will come true, but in the worst way possible. It's like their first wish is a family wishes for enough money to pay off their house. Well, right then, a guy knocks on the door and says, hey, I'm here with a amount of money for you, down to the penny, what they need to pay off their house. And this is a payment from the company because your son was just killed in a machine.
Yeah.
And so, and I won't ruin the rest of it. It's a really short story, maybe about 4 pages long, very worth reading. You can
it even says that in the second edition manual.
You can find it on the internet, and I'll see if I can even link it. If I can find it on a free page, I'll link it. But it's a great story for stuff like that. And I'm not saying you should always be crooked and evil with your characters, but at the same time, sometimes having their wishes come true in the way they didn't want. It's a great way of getting them exactly where they wanted to go, yet this is not where they thought they were going.
And even
in many ways, they may actually appreciate it more.
We all have aspirations that we can't possibly understand the full ramifications of if we were to succeed getting them.
But getting back to John's style, I have to say I really do like that with the goal thing in mind, because whether they achieve the goal or not, whether it's a good thing or not, whether it's whatever or not, it it's one more facet for the GM to understand the characters.
Exactly.
And yeah.
And you can't just make it a hopping spotlight game of, okay, Bob, you want this. Here's 10 minutes of GM time. Okay, Joe. But you can synthesize it into a plot if everyone is on the same page, if you've used a group template, all that sort of
thing. And I think that you can tell if the goal is a good one or not, where it is a bad goal if the player comes to you and gives you the goal and gives you all the great stuff, all the information and whatnot, and then in game they achieve the goal and then their character's done. You know, they have no more motivation.
That happened to me in Dragon Realms. Yeah. It's part of the reason why I quit a month ago. I had this scheme to rise to the top of the player character court scene and did it.
And
was bored.
Yeah. Once you're at the top, you know, it's lonely at the top, but that's about it.
You can make another tone of game by trying to stay on top,
right,
which is frequently harder than actually getting up there in the first place, but that's a whole another barrel than the typical adventurers hopping around having a module a week type game.
I think that's an important point that you brought up. Like, basically your goal, the goal fulfillment can be real problematic. But on the flip side of that, I think your responsibility as a GM is to try to face it out appropriately, but not so much that it's like you're just totally teasing them with it.
Right.
Like you know, I think we've all been in a situation where, you know, you're looking for whatever, the powerful sword or what, you know,
the chip in the AI game,
you know,
which is going to get right under your nose and then right up behind it.
Exactly.
No matter what everyone does.
If you keep pulling it, if you just keep pulling it away from them, I mean, that is hellaciously frustrating to the characters too.
Yeah.
And you can always set new goals. I mean, if any of us were completely self-satisfied, we'd never leave our house.
And I think it's important for our characters to be able to set multi-level goals or have varying degrees of goals. I think would be a good thing. Start small and then build on it. If you can have something other than just this uber goal, it adds more depth to your character. And that's sort of addressed like what you said before about like your game that you're running right now.
Yeah.
Some people have certain goals, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. I think another thing too that you have to take into account is how long the game is going to be.
Right.
And
right.
I know I've been playing in the last few years, I've been playing in campaigns that are fairly short lived.
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot harder to have like a long-term goal, like you said. It's like, well, I can understand. I can say, well, this might be my long-term goal, but if you're going to play in a campaign that lasts for 6 or 7 sessions or whatever,
right,
you know, 6 months, it's
do you really want to put that mental effort into it?
Exactly.
But the thing is, or you could set up
maybe
hurdle one, and if by the end of that brief game you've jumped hurdle one, your character is invigorated,
right,
ready to go to hurdle two, and you think it's a good gameplay.
And I think that goes back to my whole thing. As I said in one of the previous casts, I've played in a couple. I'm in a couple campaigns that are still sort of going on, so I'm used to that like never ending campaign,
right,
sort of a thing. So that to me, I can certainly see the goals there being, you know, big, because, well, it's still sort of going on, whereas the shorter games, it's a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
One of the things you said earlier, John, I'd say I'm kind of a fan of the spotlight adventures, only as long as they're used effectively. I mean, I think you can only really use them if it's been an extended campaign. I think in short-term campaigns, they don't work very well. But when you're in a campaign that, say, is about, you know, a year plus in length, when you go around and have those spotlight adventures, that is an incredibly powerful team-building exercise, because suddenly all the non-spotlight characters are really there in supporting roles, are really trying to help this character or this player, you know, realize a certain goal within themselves. And
I think if the whole player group is totally riveted and earnestly will sit back in entertainment at watching, you know, Sally have her 10 or 20 minute spotlight session, awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a sign of an excellently running game and a good group.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you got to do it very, very rarely.
Yeah. Well, it is. And it's something that also has to be distributed fairly as well. You know, everyone else does deserve, you know, their little moment in the sun like that, if that's what you're going for. But I think it really can go a long way towards, you know, really it cements that character bond. And I think it also creates just that relationship with people, because they can visualize what's going on, and they can really, really tie into what's happening.
I agree. And I should qualify my earlier statement. I'm not completely against spotlight moments.
They just have to be used, right?
I just don't want my advice to be construed as, okay, GM, don't have a plot. Right. Ask your characters what they want and individually take them around.
Yeah.
Moving them tonight's 5 feet Sally's closer to it.
Night. Yeah. Tomorrow is Matt's now, night.
Question on something, John. One of the things I want to understand as we talk, as I talk to all of you guys as GMs, is where you get your inspirations from. So take that kind of as an open question, but related to that, and these two might tie together, so I'll give them to you at the same time. Earlier when you were talking about writing the game, you talked about coming up with a cool villain and figuring out what his plot is, and then writing a plot as if he succeeds. So is it fair to say that you tend to write your plots as villain-centric rather than
absolutely
event-centric or politics-centric? Or
my duty as the GM to run the antagonist. Whether he's good, bad, or ugly, he's the antagonist of the player characters. And the only real footprint I want to leave on the world, unless it's a totally original setting, which I rarely do, is the people or persons that that the PCs are running against.
So where do you come up with your ideas? If I asked you tomorrow to run a whatever game and you had no plot in mind, you would sit down and do what to come up with an idea?
Well, I would bum around with the tropes of Star Wars and the Lord of the Rings, depending on which setting I was going for, sci-fi or fantasy, and their associated works. I would probably try to recall a historical situation that I think I could plug into the story. Or I might simply start making stuff up. I mean, we're all creative people. How can we quantify the process of sitting down in front of a blank document and making up things? I don't know how it's done.
Oh, I know.
Does anyone?
Yeah, I completely and totally rip things off. Like I said in my GM profile, I am exceedingly bad at coming up with my own ideas. But I am, as egotistically as I can put this, I think I'm really good at taking other people's ideas and going really far with them.
Well, we all do that in gaming.
Yeah, I think I could maybe vaguely describe the process I go through, but it's going to be so abstract, esoteric, that I don't know if it's going to be significant.
Describe anyway. Yeah, with colors.
Exactly. I don't know if it's going to mean anything.
I do blue.
To someone who's not in my head.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you start with a character or an event that you fall in love with, and then you build the next thing off of that, and the next thing off of that, and kind of go around in a circle from a middle point that can be anything, and build as much as you want around it.
Right.
But yes, Stan, it would be accurate to say that villains and villain plots dominate my mode of preparation rather than trying to cut a fictional universe out of whole cloth.
For me, most of my stuff is usually developed via pictures. I'll have a visual image in my head of something that either is cool or is neat. And then I just start filling in the details, and it may be working my way backwards or forwards, depending upon where I end up placing that picture along, you know, the storyline. So it all comes
scene based, but you have a very visual imagination of it.
Yes, exactly. And then I just kind of build off ideas, or I'll rip off like everyone else does, or I'll start with the idea, you know, someone wants to do X, and then kind of build from there.
You know, we had another topic map.
I think that we took John's GMing profile and then we drew advice.
Right. And I don't feel bad about that.
No, yeah. I didn't want to monologue for 30 minutes about what I do.
But you did.
Hey, that's okay.
No, so. We had a roundtable discussion about RPGs a little bit more.
So, that's right. Yeah, that's great, though.
It was irreverent.
That gives us some topics we can ice for future episodes.
Yeah. And we still haven't even talked about my GM profile yet.
No, we haven't done your GM profile
nor
or mine.
Will we? You call that GMing?
So yeah, we'll come back, Chris, to yours and mine in future episodes. And we've also got a couple ideas here in the hopper.
And Pat's, too.
Yeah. I don't have a GMing style. I don't GM.
You never GM, Pat?
I have GM'd once.
We should make
Pat, you can defend the vociferous non-GM.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have had almost none.
We could maybe get him to explain why he won't GM.
Yeah.
That'll be a fairly quick discussion. Sure, yeah.
Not after we start needling you, it won't be.
Uh-oh.
Something that is kind of, actually Chad came up with this idea as we've been doing these GM profiles, is what we're curious to see is what everyone else's GM profile is like. Those of you that are out there listening to this show. So here's the offer that we're extending. over the next couple weeks, and don't expect us to pay attention to these too quickly, because we're going to be at Gen Con, and that's going to...
And we, a lot of people are con season stuff.
And so. Yeah, and I'm still trying to get our new portal fully up and running. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little bit. So take your time. You don't need to send these in right away. We'll keep you posted as we develop this. But start thinking now. If you'd like to share what your GMing style is, or you think you've got some unique insight on the art of GMing you want to pass out there,
or if you have a GM style that's similar to any of ours and you just want to talk about it.
Yeah, grab a mic and send us in about let's cap in about 5 minutes. So 5 minute max, like an MP3 file of just your explanation of how it is you GM. What we're going to do is we're going to go through them. We'll take a listen. We'll listen to all of them. And we will eventually take a handful of them that we find uniquely interesting.
And submit them to the FBI.
Right. At which point, you will be investigated by the child porn unit. But no, what we will do is then we will put those together into a bonus episode.
Yes.
Where we'll play some of those and maybe comment on them and put them back out there. Yep. So you guys can kind of benefit from each other's insight, not just our insight. So once again, no hurry on this. We don't have time to look at them right this moment anyway. But just be thinking about that. Yep. If you're interested, start putting together some thoughts on...
We might put up some instructions, some quick and simple instructions on how you can take your little gaming headset that you play online games with, and we'll show you how to do Audacity and kick out an MP3.
It's not hard. I can do it.
Yeah, it's very, very simple.
If you are going to do one of these, do me a favor. When you email them, send them to feartheboot@gmail.com. Do not send them to our Fear the Boot domain email addresses, because you will promptly overwhelm them in size. Once we get to the dedicated host, we'll have much bigger mailboxes, but right now they're relatively small. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do one of these, email it to feartheboot@gmail.com. Yeah. If you send it to another address, there's a good chance it will not get through.
And,
so,
and if you just have to run out and just record, you know, your 5 minutes right now, you're just real fired up, just a quick format of say your name or your handle or what you want to be called. Can you cuss or not?
No. Well, we'd have to bleep it out. So, yeah, just say your name, your name, maybe where you're from.
Yeah. Unless, hey, this is... unless your campaign name is the Warriors of Land.
My.
Well,
well, all right. So there
Leather
you go.
Leather Goddesses of Phobos then, started as a fake name and turned into a real game. So let's write that one.
And then, we'll, you know, do 5 minutes, say your name, do shout out. Do your 5 minutes and send it in to
feartheboot@gmail.com. So, alrighty. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We hope to see a bunch of you at Gen Con. And those of you that we don't see, we will catch you for the next episode.
Later days.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.